at Altar Guys this morning. I've got such an expectation for what the Lord wants to do. And always when you come into His presence, it's just amazing to experience Him and to know He's real, He's here. He wants to speak to each one of us. And I just, in intercession this morning, it was just highlighted again. And I was just thinking, if you can ask the Lord one thing today, what would you ask? If you had one thing, you can just bring before Him and say, Lord, this is what I want. This is that one thing. And obviously, all of us will have different things, different stuff that immediately come up, different things that you want. And I was just reminded in the week as I was preparing and praying over today in our service, just again that each one of us is so unique. We know our fingerprints are unique. Apparently they say our vocal cords are also unique. And the color in your eye. There's so many things that God made that it's unique about you. And God wants to do something through your life, something amazing, something big. He's probably already busy. He's preparing us for those things that He's prepared for us to walk in. And this morning, I don't have the scriptures on the slides. There's only one slide. It's where's our joy? Where's my joy? And we can think about that. And God is taking us on a journey. God is taking us along. And we are moving forward. But there's some things that I believe is just important to talk about this morning. But before we get there, you can follow in your Bibles or on your smartphones. Psalm 139. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. So just now when we thought about that one thing that we want to come bring to the Lord, that one thing that we want to ask, God already knew that. He already knew that that is the first thing that you're going to ask. Doesn't matter what it is, if it's just for something new, some stuff or gadgets or some other thing, but He knows what is on our hearts. And from verse 13, Psalm 139, it says, I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, the days that were formed for us, was written right there. And then we were born. So obviously, you know, babies, amazing, come out fearfully and wonderfully made. Our experience of our three children, Gustav, for his first 2 weeks, he just slept during the day and awake during the night. So that already was a bit of a change. And then it was as if he changed gears from first to fifth. And things just got a little bit more exciting. And he's such a blessing to us. But we had some difficult times. But with all the children, I believe every child is a science. They will ref you in a different way and bless you in a different way. And that's amazing. And that's what God is doing. And He brings these things into our lives because He's also building things into our life. And Lee and I, we often say that we've become closer to the Lord through our children and through things that happen in our life than anything else. And also hardship, also things that happened to us that didn't work out so well, and battles that we had before. Through all of that, we become closer to the Lord. And sometimes, sometimes I think my life must be perfect, and I must be happy, and everything must be sorted out, and that is the place where the Lord wants me to be. And that is, then I'm in the center of His will. And that is a lie. God God doesn't just, he doesn't want us just to be happy and all sorted out and everything must be perfect. No, he wants us to be holy. He wants us to have relationship with him. He's more interested in our lives, in our character, and we become than sorting out everything around us and that we can just be in a happy place. I often think one of the names of the Holy Spirit is our comforter. So our comforter, meaning that we will need comfort. We're going to be in situations where it's going to be uncomfortable, where we will need the Holy Spirit. And this is something that I'm praying about a lot and just ask the Lord to show me, Lord, show me just what you are doing in my life right now. Because I get distracted when something breaks, then I want to fix it. When there's some chaos, I want to sort it out. When there's something not right, then I first want to sort that out before I can go on. And I realize that is not necessarily the right thing to do. When there's a problem, that's just our natural tendency. We just want to sort out everything. We want our whole life to be in order and everyone must be happy. And then we're in the center of God's will. And the Lord is just challenging me on that. Where I can walk and still have a joy in the midst of everything that's going on in life. And that's a challenge. The Bible says whatever is going on in our heart, it will come out. And Elias also mentioned that where your heart is, there your treasure is. But whatever is going on in your heart, it's going to come out. We can't hide it. Matthew 12, verse 34 said, your brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Matthew 15 also, what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. Sometimes I don't like what comes out of my heart. Maybe someone just drive in front of you in traffic and something jump out and say, whoa, is that me? Is that what's going on? And you realize there's still some things that's not so good. And these days I just check what comes out of my heart. Where someone is just... It's usually in our home. That's my way I learn a lot. Where you're tired and then you just want to go out of the house and everything is ready and then someone will run off or the sibling rivalry where they just hit one another, Gustav and Samuel, they start a fight and now we must stop everything and sort it out. And I don't want to do that right now. I would just want to go. I just want to get everyone in the car and go. And then there's certain steps, there's certain things, there's certain discipline that follows when you hit your brother, and then all those things must happen before we can move. It's not so easy as it used to be. Are we going to go somewhere? Yes, okay, let's go. You get in the car and you go. That's how it used to be. Now it's a bit different. But God is really... working in our hearts. And 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9, it says, but as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. There's things that God has prepared for us that we can't even imagine. I think I've got a good imagination. If I can't sleep, then I just close my eyes and I imagine my best rugby game or cricket or whatever, or things from school, whatever I like, and I saw the whole movie playing off in front of me, and then I fall asleep. So when Lee can't sleep, I just tell her, see pictures, look at the pictures, it's there. It's like a movie. So I've got a good imagination. And God is saying that he's prepared things that we can't even imagine for us. And I've been thinking, how am I going to move forward? How am I going to reach these things? If the normal stuff of life is keeping me so busy, if I just want to sort out all the stuff that's happening and want to create this perfect space where everyone is happy around me and everything is working, and now from that place, I want to say, okay, Lord, now you can do something. And I just sense God is just want to come way before that. He just want to say, bring your mess, bring everything, and let us just walk. And your joy is not going to come from your circumstances. Your joy is not going to come from everything being in place and wonderful and perfect. And that's what I desire. And I realize that God's heart is primarily not for me to be comfortable and happy. He wants me to be holy. He wants me to get closer to Him. It's about knowing God. And I realize that the reward is not a comfortable life. The reward is God Himself. The reward is Jesus. That is the first prize. That is the best thing that I can have, is Jesus Himself. Not the comfortable life where everything is sorted out. And that is something that I say these things and we read the word about the plans that God has for us. But I believe it's something that must settle in our heart. It's something that we must make it our own. It's easy to say Jesus is my reward, but it's different when it's a difficult situation and I call on the name of Jesus. And say, Lord, now, because you are with me, I feel a sense of comfort. Because I know the Holy Spirit is with me, I experience comfort. Nothing has changed in my circumstances. Even though I'm looking at the news and I hear everything that's going on in the radio and read the newspapers, I can have joy because of God that's real in my life. And that is a different place to be. Where everybody is telling us all the negative stuff and everything, and I say, Lord, you with me. Help me to see, where are you busy? What are you doing right now? Because that's where I want to be. That's where I want to walk. And that there's a place like that where we can walk into. And often our joy is so rooted in our circumstances. There's a lady, her name is Michelle. She shared on Focus on the Family. This is about some of the things that happened in her life. And she said her life was all sorted out and she got married and a few children. And just one morning she got a phone call from the doctor that said she had cancer in her tongue. It's a very weird cancer. And she said that phone call just changed her life. And she was so terrified. And she was so afraid of what's going to happen next and everything. And in that, she just started to experience God in a whole new way. Because up to that time in her life, she thought that her relationship with God is a transactional relationship. She's doing all the good things, so good things must happen to her. So if there's not good things happening to her, then she tries to do more good things. And she just tried to do all the right things. So she tried to go to church and read her Bible and do good things so that good things can happen to her. So there was a transactional thing happening. And then she said, Lord, but why this? How can this happen to me? What did I do to deserve it? And I was just reminded that sometimes the things that happen in our life, we won't be able to understand it. God is God. But in everything that happened, we can still experience something of God's joy. And this lady, Michelle, she for it was a very big thing. She got really challenged. She said, Lord, but all the time we had this thing, I'm doing this, you're doing this. I'm doing this, you're doing this. And, and God just came and He just burst a whole bubble. Because that's not what God is, that's not what Jesus is saying. He said, I come to you and I save you. I'm reaching out to you. And we can't deserve it. We can't do things to deserve the goodness of God. It's His grace. He gives everything to us. Something that we must receive. And that reminded me of someone in the Bible. We all know the story of the prodigal son. How he went to his dad and he asked his dad for his inheritance. Now, according to the customs, if there's two sons, then the first son is entitled to a double portion of the other son. But the dad it was obviously his choice. He can decide what he want to give to his sons. So the younger son come and he said, "Dad, I want everything." We know the story. His dad agreed. He gave him all the stuff and he went on off and he partied and he do a lot of things. And he wasted all the money. And it's amazing that portion of scripture in Luke 15, it is Jesus talking to the Pharisees. And he first started out talking to them. And he said, if there's a shepherd of his 100 sheep and the one is lost, he will go and he will find that one. And when he comes back, they will all rejoice over the one. So he's talking about salvation. And he continued, and he said, that's when there's a party in heaven. And it was so amazing for me, because I would think if we do good things, there's some things that we can do to create a party in heaven. And the scripture said, no, there's a party when one person comes to salvation, when one that's lost come back. And it goes on and it talks about the woman that's looking for a piece of money. And then Jesus tells this story about the two sons. And he says, this son that's coming back, this is more typical of us also. When we take a lot of things and we just do whatever with our lives. But at some point, there's opportunity for us to turn around and to come back to Jesus, to come back to the Father. And it's so beautiful how they depict the Father sitting or being there in the house and just looking. He's looking for my boy that's coming. When is the son coming back? And I believe God is also looking at us every day. He's just waiting for us to draw back to Him. He's ready to receive us. He's ready to just grab us. And He's not going to condemn us for all the things that we've done. He's waiting for us to just turn and to receive us. But then we see the other brother. The other brother is more like what we do, what I do. In verse 25, it says, the older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked him what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound. So it's like a spit braai, almost. And he was angry and refused to go in. And his father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father. And listen to what he's saying. He said, look, these many years I've served you. I never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. So I did all these good things. I deserve this. And this is what our culture has become. Entitlement. Say, Lord, I deserve this. I deserve to be treated better. I deserve this and this and this in my life. Surely there must be more. And this is what this brother, he came. He said, you never did this for me. See what you've done for my brother. But when the son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad. And I just realized that this son, he just looked at his brother, what happened to him, and he said, wow, this is wrong. This is wrong. How can the father do this to a boy that went out and he wasted all his inheritance, and he comes back and there's a celebration. And I'm in the house and I'm doing all the right things. I'm doing this and I'm doing all the right things. And this is not happening to me. And I believe in the culture that we live in, and it's so easy for us that this entitlement thing can come into our lives. Where we allow, I want to say, the devil or the enemy or our own sinful nature, we allow it to say that I deserve better. I deserve this. This is my right. This is what we all hear in the newspapers all the time. All about human rights, and this is my right, and this can't happen to me, and surely this is not for me. And I was just thinking about the disciples and Jesus. If they were thinking like us, trying to sort out their lives and sort out and getting rid of all the punishment and all the difficult things and all the challenges, then the gospel wouldn't have gone far. Because they were thrown in prison, still rejoicing, still ministering to the prison wards. And even Jesus, right at the point of death before his crucifixion, he said to the Lord, or said to the Father, Lord, if you can take this away, but if not, I'm willing to go through this. I'm willing to take the hard way. And I just sense that for us, we think there's an easy way and a hard way. And we tend to go for the easy way. But often the easy way, this is just this entitlement. I say, I deserve better. So it actually makes us very passive. We're not going to do something about it because you just deserve better. You're going to make a big noise that someone can actually do for you what you want. Because we deserve better. And I believe that the Lord just want to come and he just want to highlight certain things in our lives. Where did this come in? Where did these things come and creep into our lives? Where's this entitlement manifesting? Back to this lady Michelle. She was on the radio sharing more about her life, and then the guy asked her, okay, so you the cancer started and everything, but how was your life up to there? She said, if you go back about 7 years before 2010, before everything happened, she said she was raised in a Christian home. She started praying for her husband from a very young age, always asking God for that he must bring her the right man. And then she met him, and he was an amazing guy, and they got married, and he was doing ministry and all of that. And 7 years down the line, one day after their first child was born, he just packed up his things and he walked out the house, and he left her. And she said, Lord, she didn't understand it. She said, that is the thing that God, that she prayed about for so many years. That's the one thing she prayed about. That's the thing that God came and he gave her this man. At the time, they had an amazing marriage. And first thing she said to the Lord, I deserve better. I don't deserve for this to happen to me in my life. And the Lord just reminded to her two things. We live in a sinful world, but also we've got a choice. We've got a free will. And he said, that's the amazing thing about the Lord wants us to love him. Jesus wants us to love him. But the ultimate love is us choosing him. Him not forcing us to love him. He gave us a free will that we can choose. And sometimes we make bad decisions. And then there's bad consequences and things don't go as we thought it's going to be. And that lady, she just said that, well, she was so angry with the Lord and said, I deserve better. Surely this can't happen to me. The Lord said, well, there's still a free will, free choice. Her husband at the time, he made other decisions, he walked away. And she struggled for a very long time with this entitlement. Until she decided she's going to move from entitlement, from I deserve, to a place of taking responsibility, of doing something. She always thought on the one side, she deserved an amazing man, and she deserved someone that follows the Lord. And she moved from that just to a place where I'm going to make it my responsibility to find this guy, to look for him, instead of just waiting. And she just said that just changed her whole perspective on life. She moved away from this entitlement. Because what it does, entitlement, where we say, I deserve, the world owe me something, this must happen to me. There's an anger that can creep into our hearts when it doesn't happen. We get angry, we isolate ourselves, we get passive. We don't do anything, and sometimes we just get grumpy. And it can happen in friendships, it can happen in our homes, where I deserve better, I deserve to be loved, I deserve this, I deserve someone to bring me coffee every morning, I deserve all these things, and this is how it's supposed to be. It's all entitlement. Until we say, okay, what can I do? What can I do to do things different? How can I take responsibility for some of the things? And there's a Dr. John Townsend, he wrote a book, Entitlement Cure. He said some of the ways for us to get rid of entitlement is service. It's where we see the needs of people around us and we start doing something about it. We start acting, we start walking in this service, in a sacrifice. We will not sit back and say, I deserve better, I deserve this, but we start doing something. And this is the challenge. I believe this is a major challenge for us to get this right. Because the problem with entitlement is there's usually a easy way, but it's not necessarily the right way. And in his book, he described this guy that came to see him. He was, can't remember, he was very old, staying with his parents. And he didn't want to move out. He said, he got a job and everything, and he just enjoyed it there. They made food for him. They did all the washing, the dishes, everything. And he just wanted to stay there. So they came and they see this Dr. John. And the parents say, we really want this guy to go on with his life and to go forward. And he just said, they are my parents. I deserve to be looked after. I deserve that they do all these things for me. And what he did in his life is he also had no desire to move on. He was just, that was the easy way for him. The easy way out. And I was reminded in the Bible where it talks about this, in Matthew 7. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. There's a road that leads to life that only a few will find. It is a hard way. This Dr. Johnny wrote in his book, he said, one of the cures for entitlement is often just the hard way. There's a right way and it's often a hard way. It's not easy. There's some things that we want to get to in our lives. Sometimes it will just mean that we're going to have to do a lot of hard work. Or you must study. Or there's other things that you must do. But there's a hard way to get there. If at some point you just sit back and you say, I deserve better than this, you're probably just going to stop. So I deserve better, get angry, get frustrated, and just stop. And it's such a challenge for me to think about these things. It was actually funny. Lee wanted to print something last night. I didn't tell her at the time. She comes into the room. The printer doesn't want to print. As he walks in there and says, this is a new printer. It must print. How can the ink not be enough and everything? And I'm just thinking, okay, so it's a new printer, so you just believe it must. The printer owe you something here. It's like you deserve to print in the right way. And it's a simple thing. But it's often like that. Our days will just go on, something happened, and you say, no, this can't happen. This is not right. It may not be like this. I deserve better. It can't happen to me. And that's just how this entitlement thing is going to come in. And what I'm just asking the Lord to help me to move from entitlement, to move from a place where I say I deserve, to a place where I take responsibility, where I do something. And like I said, this mentality of I deserve better, there's implications also for our faith, where we don't deserve God's love and grace and mercy and everything that Jesus gave to us. Those are not things that we deserve. We didn't do something to get it. Still, at the same time, we receive it, and then we just want to walk from there and just look into the world and say, we deserve all this stuff, and all these things that must come our way. And why I'm talking about this is, I really believe that this is one of the things that's going to keep us from doing the things that God has prepared for us. If we're going to be stuck in entitlement, say the world owe me something, I deserve better. If we're not going to be able to move from this to a place where we take responsibility and to say, Lord, help me to do things different. Help me to see the needs. Because this is one thing, when you say, I deserve better, we don't look around and see any needs of anyone. Because you're just thinking about yourself. You just want better. So one of the cures, one of the ways to move beyond this is to look at needs around us and just to see what can we do about this. I wrote here, entitlement, it alienates us, it makes us to be lonely. We often want the easier way out. God is interested in your life and my life. He's interested in us. He's concerned about us. He loves us. He wants to move us into a new place, into new things that He's prepared for us. He wants to give us joy in the midst of everything. God wants us to experience joy. And we can really help one another. We just listen to how we talk, how we share. Because those things, what we say, how we are so critical, it all comes from our heart. It comes from something that's inside of us. Instead of judging one another, I believe that we can just help one another and saying, wow, listen to how you speak, man. Just listen to what you're saying. Because I need Lee to tell me every now and then, say, you're doing this, I've got blind spots. I don't see those things because it became so part of my life that I do not even know about it. And Moses, if you look at the Bible, I'm almost finished. At Moses, he had a desire. We also heard last week about Moses and the things that he wanted to do for Israel, and he saw the people and he wanted to do something about it. And he had a real heart for God's people in Egypt. And he chose to walk away from the palace. He chose to walk away from all the riches of everything that was there, that was available for him. He chose to walk away from those things. And Hebrews 11 says, he thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt. For he was looking ahead to his great reward. And while he was in the desert waiting for the promised land, God came and spoke to Moses. And he told him that he must take the people into the promised land. And Moses replied, he said, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us from here. And we talk about that as well. And he said, I don't want your blessing, Lord. I want your presence. I don't just want the blessing and all the good things to happen and everything to be perfect. I want your presence. I want to know you. I want to know that we're walking together. I want to know that you are with me. And that is our goal, the presence of God. And from there, Psalm 16, verse 11, it said, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." I'm just going to read it again. Psalm 16, verse 11, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." The path of life. The presence of God where there's fullness of joy. Through entitlement and also offenses, the devil tried to keep us away from God. Through things that happen in our lives that we don't understand, that we can't figure out, we get offended. The Bible talks about many will be offended because of me. In Luke 17 it says, offenses will come. And offenses that, if you look in the Greek, the word scandalon, it's the bait that they put in a trap to catch the animal. That is the offense. And that comes in and it wants to trap us. It wants to keep us bound in this life that we can't experience the joy of the Lord. Where we can't move forward. Where we can't do anything. And I know life is hard. Life is tough. Bad things happen. Things happen that I don't understand, especially in the last couple of months. Many things happened that I didn't understand. But at the same time, I know God is a good God. At the same time, I see in the Word, it says, "Lord, your presence, you make known to me a path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy." Fullness of joy. Something in God's presence that I think we must still experience. There's so much more. And this morning, I just want to say, let's look at the entitlement. Let's look at those areas in our lives where we say, "I deserve better. I deserve something else." And also, let's look at maybe there's an offense. Maybe there's something that happened that we don't understand, something that made us really angry, and we are harboring an offense. We are keeping that thing in our heart, and we don't want to let go. And those things are robbing our joy. It's robbing our ability just to live and to do things and just as a community, as a church, to walk together and to accomplish what God has prepared for us. And all the time I'm just thinking about Jesus that chose the hard way, but it was the right way. So I think, the hard way, and then there's a lot of things that comes with that. The moment I think hard, I'm like, okay. Even when I'm running and I see an uphill, you're almost like, okay. Okay. You're not happy. You see, you realize it's going to be tough and you're going to have to push through. But the Lord is saying that in that, walking with Him, in the hard way, in His presence, there's joy. I'm excited about that. Because else we're just going to go with the rest of the world. We're going to get angrier. We're going to get more frustrated. And we're anyway not going to have joy. We're not going to have joy. The one lady, she said, she realized that people that follow the Lord and people that don't follow the Lord, they have the same trouble. But if you don't follow the Lord, you don't have hope. Then you just battle. If you follow the Lord, there's hope. There's a place where we can have joy in that battle. And even today, we are very privileged, the society that we live in. We're actually privileged just to have entitlements that I deserve. The majority of the world, they don't have this entitlement issue. because their lives are tough. Their lives are difficult. They live in poverty. That's a difficult place. So I can't walk in there and just tell them, no, you just follow the Lord. Everything is going to work out. That's going to be a lie. I walk in India into the villages. I tell them about Jesus. I tell them about the hope that Jesus brings. And that there can be joy in the midst of all their circumstances, in the midst of everything that's happening to them. I can't tell them that it's even going to go better with them after they start following Jesus, because they might be persecuted. And they might be thrown out of their homes and the family. There's a lot of trouble coming with that. But still, I know God is good. And there's something of the joy of the Lord that we can find in His presence that they will not have if they don't follow Jesus. And that's what I just wanted to share with us this morning, that let's push through. Let's ask the Lord, Lord, in the midst of everything, let us stop the battle of trying to first sort out all our circumstances and sort out everything that's not right. I think we must just lay down the weapons and say, okay, Lord, in the midst of all the chaos, everything that's going on, show me your joy right now in your presence. And I believe it will just blow our mind and take us to a new place where we haven't been before. Let us stand. This morning, as we stand, I just want to give you an opportunity is to talk to the Lord and maybe just surrender some of your rights. Surrender some of those things. There's even things that we pray about that I think it's not from the Lord. The word is very clear that God knows what we need. God knows what we need. He knows what we need for every day. There's a lot of promises in the word. He will bless the righteous man. He will bless the righteous man. I believe that if we're righteous, we will see that blessing, and you will know it's from God. You will not be confused and say, is this now Lord of what's going on? You will know that's God. And we are living this life battling with things, and all our energy goes into things that God has promised that He will look after. Let's just surrender our wants, our desires. Let's come this morning. We surrender some of these entitlements. Lord, I deserve this and I deserve that, and this must happen to me. And let's just start and say, Lord, help me to experience something of your joy in the midst of everything else that's going on in my life right now. Some of these entitlements or even offenses, things that happened where we're really angry, these things can really keep us back. I'm not making light of it. I believe we must just change the battle plan. Change our focus. We would desire first God's presence. Desire first to come close to Him and allow Him to speak what He wants to say at His time. He knows what we need. He knows our desires. He knows your dreams. He knows the things that He's prepared for you that you can walk in. Father, we come this morning and we stand before you, Lord. We're standing on this side of eternity, Lord, with such a short time in the bigger scheme of things. Lord, I just want to repent, Lord, of often so many entitlements, so many things that I say that I deserve better, I deserve this. Lord, I pray that we can come to you, that we can reach out to you in a new way, Lord, where we will be a church known as for people that can reach out to Jesus, people that's got a heart after God more than anything else. And Lord, I pray that we will not back down from the hard way anymore. There's some things that you want to do through our lives that it's going to be a hard way. It might be difficult. Maybe you want to use us like a Paul in a prison. Maybe you want to use us in a similar situation. I pray that we will be able to see where you move, see where you walk, Lord. Show us, Father. Show us your joy. Help us to experience your joy that comes from being in your presence and nothing else. I believe that some of us, there's just some things that we need to surrender, that we just need to tell the Lord. Lord, I lay this down. Or there's just questions that you have to battle with. Where you just come and you just give those things to the Lord. Maybe we won't get all the answers this side of eternity. But I pray that that will not rob us from the joy that comes from the Lord and from being in His presence. I'm just going to give, while we're playing, just talk to the Lord. I believe the Lord has touched you. You will know what to say. Just talk to Him and start the conversation. I don't think everything is just going to be here. As we go on in this week, maybe this afternoon, just start a conversation with God. Thank you.
Jeff, the song's name is Enough.
Father, we come this morning and we thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you that you love us, Lord. Thank you that you don't leave us to our own devices and our own desires. That you reach out to us. Thank you, Lord, that you are waiting for each one of us. Every time when we turn back, every time when we run to you, you are ready to receive us. We thank you for that, Lord. We worship you, God. Thank you for hope, Lord. Thank you that we can have hope. We can have life because of you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. I'm going to be here. Maybe some of you just want to pray with me. Or just